So Isaiah chapter 9, do turn there in your Bibles with me. It's on page 694 in the Blue Church Bibles, if you have one of those. And then once you get there, keep that open. We're not going to read it quite yet. We'll get to that in just a moment, but keep it open in front of you. Now, as Luke has already alluded to, and as the decorations show, Christmas is coming, isn't it? The streets are filled with extra lights and decorations. These weird inflatable decorations just have popped up everywhere this year, haven't they? We saw a 12-foot purple penguin the other day, as tall as the house. It's insane. Shops are resounding with Christmas music as well. School nativities have been taking place, haven't they? Christmas is nearly here. I'm sure many of us here are excited about it. It is an exciting time. It's something to look forward to because it is a good time of year. It can be exciting. There are many things to look forward to. But it can also be a difficult time of year. Some of you may have been uncomfortable slightly then as I talked about the good things of Christmas, the exciting things, because it can be tough for some of us. For some of us, it's a reminder of a loved one who is no longer here, and that is painful. For some, the difficulties of broken families is just too much to take. For others, it's the loneliness that especially hits home over Christmas. Well, this morning we're going to see something that will give you a reason to get excited this Christmas, no matter what your situation is. It's something that will trump all those other reasons that you may already be excited about. Something that hopefully will fill you with joy. But in order to do that, we're going to have to go on a journey. A journey that takes us back about 2,700 years. Let me set the scene. You live in Jerusalem and a part of what was once a great nation that ruled the land, but has now been divided into two separate kingdoms. Other nations have risen up and they're threatening invasion. In fact, you have just been told that you will soon be invaded by the Assyrian army, a ruthless and barbaric army. Chapter 8 of Isaiah, having just announced the imminent invasion, ends by saying, "Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness." What is already a very dark time is about to become even darker, and it is completely out of your control. You are helpless. The future is not looking promising. Back to 2018, we might be leaving the EU, and maybe for some of you that conjures up similar emotions, but we're not facing invasion. Our future economy might be uncertain, but we're not facing a barbaric army that is threatening our lives. However, we do live in a dark world, don't we? There is evil all around us. Uncertainty abounds. And spiritually as well, we're in the dark. Our nation neither knows nor wants to know God. In fact, without his help, we can't know him, and we have no hope of changing that ourselves. Just like in Judah, we live in dark times. And it's in that context that we come to our verses. Having just told you that I'm going to give you a reason to rejoice this morning, that may have seemed like a slightly odd introduction. But bear with me, those reasons are coming. We have 3 points this morning, and each of them should lead us to rejoice. Firstly, we'll see that light has loomed. Secondly, peace has prevailed. And thirdly, a king has come. Light has loomed, peace has prevailed, and a king has come. So firstly, light has loomed. Light has loomed. Jump back with me 2,700 years. Put yourself in the shoes of a Judean in the situation that I described. You're in darkness, not physically, But these are already dark times, and more darkness is coming in the form of an invasion on your land, and you are helpless. Now, with that in mind, listen as I read our passage. Because these are the very next verses that come in Isaiah after being told that you'll be thrust into thick darkness. So look with me at Isaiah chapter 9, starting at verse 1. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Did you feel the hope of that passage? Can you imagine what hearing this would have felt like for those original hearers? You're in darkness, you've been told, but light is coming. There will be no more gloom. Instead, light will shine into the darkness. Yes, you will be thrust into thick darkness, but it will not last forever. Instead, light will come. It's an image that's easy to understand, isn't it? Without light, we can't see the way to go. We just end up stumbling around. And it can be over the smallest of things, which in the day just wouldn't cause us an issue at all. But as soon as light has gone, we don't know where to step. I have a probably bad habit of putting my clothes next to my bed, which is fine in the day. But as soon as Joshua gets up in the night and I have to try and quietly get out of bed, I end up tripping over them or stepping on a belt hook. Light is important, isn't it? Without it, one of our five senses is redundant. It's why animals that live in total darkness don't have eyes, like the blind cavefish. They serve no purpose. In fact, darkness is such an oppressive thing that it's used in war as a torture technique. They put someone in solitary confinement in total darkness, and it doesn't take long to cause them to lose their mind. Darkness is a horrible thing. And that's the picture that is being created here. That is the situation that God says we are in naturally, and it is not good. It is not where we want to be. Listen as I read a couple of verses from the Bible that talk about darkness. Deuteronomy 28:29 says, "At midday you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you." And then Jeremiah 23:12 says, "Therefore their path will become slippery. They will be banished to darkness, and there they will fall. I will bring disaster on them in the year they are punished, declares the Lord." This is how the Bible pictures darkness. It brings calamity and destruction. Light brings life, but darkness brings death. It is not where you want to be, but it's where we all are without God. And just like God's people couldn't rescue themselves from darkness, it's the same with us. We are helpless, and we cannot do anything about our situation. And now, having realized the situation you're in, imagine what that promise of light feels like. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Light is coming. It will shine in the darkness, and it will not only shine, but you will see it. Light has loomed, and light brings life. And that light is Jesus. The kids have recently learned in Minis that Jesus is the light of the world. That's what he said, "I am the light of the world." And so during Advent, we are remembering that light is coming. Not just a light, but the light. The light that brings light to the whole world. At home at the moment, we are having dinner by candlelight. Each day we add an extra candle. So on the 1st of December, we ate with one candle. We'll be up to 16 today. And just to illustrate that light's coming, the closer we get to Christmas, the brighter that light gets. Because we remember through Advent that light is coming. And light reverses all the things of darkness so that we can see clearly. So that we can see God. Paul said in Corinthians, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Light enables us not just to see, but to know God. And that is a joyous thing. That should cause us to rejoice. Our reaction should be that of the blind man in Luke, who, after he had been healed, praised God. He couldn't help but praise God. He was blind, but now he could see. Light had come, and he praised God. As he praised God, others that saw him couldn't help but praise God too. And that is the reaction that we see in our verses. Can you see that in verse 3? "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people gather, as people rejoice at the harvest." By bringing light, God increases joy. He gives a reason to rejoice no matter what is happening. And what is their joy to be like? Well, it's like people rejoicing at the harvest. The harvest is a time of thanking God for his provision in giving food for the next year. Thanking him that it's grown and hasn't died. The image is one of thankfulness at an abundance of provision, of goodness. Thankfulness for giving life. And that thankfulness leads to rejoicing. That should be our response too. Light has come. We were blind, but now through Jesus we can see. This is what the season of Advent is for. We're building up to a time when we remember that light came into the world. And that should give us great joy. Light has loomed. And not only that, but also peace has prevailed. Peace has prevailed. There are some situations where you wouldn't want light, where you wouldn't want to see the destruction that's around you. But this isn't one of those situations. God is not just shining a light on the terrible situation that we're in, but he's also doing something about it. Verse 4 says, "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." Midian's defeat is recorded in Judges chapters 6 to 8. It was a time when God showed his power in weakness. when humanly speaking, the Israelites had no chance of victory. And yet, a man called Gideon and his army effectively watched on as God won the battle for them. And he delivered them. The story will have been well known to Isaiah's audience. And so he reminds them of that time and says, I know the situation that you are in looks hopeless. But remember how God delivered us from the hands of Midian. Remember how he won the victory and we didn't have to do anything. Well, just as he delivered you then, he will do it again. He will shatter the yoke that burdens. A yoke is that wooden cross piece that fastens two animals together by their necks in order to pull a plough or a cart or such like. It's an oppressive and restrictive thing. And so the yoke that burdens here simply means a life that is full of troubles, where you are being weighed down by worries and concerns. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you have money difficulties or you're in need of a job. Maybe there are relationships in your life that are putting such a strain or such a weight on you. They're constantly on your mind and you want to fix things, but you just can't. Maybe you're facing eviction from your home. Maybe you or a loved one have health worries. Whatever the situation that is burdening you, God promises here that he will shatter them. That one day they will be no more. And not only that, but he also promises to shatter the bar across their shoulders. That is, the bar or stick that brings suffering as it struck across the back. And that he will shatter the rod of their oppressor. That is, suffering from personal opposition. Maybe you're here this morning and you experience suffering at the hands of someone else, whether physical, verbal, or emotional. If that's you, firstly, let me give you hope. Let me give you hope that it will not always be like that. God makes a promise here that he will bring victory one day. And we'll see in a moment what his kingdom will be like for those that trust him. He will shatter the bar and rod of your oppressor, Christian. He will. He will do it. It may not be straight away, but he will bring victory. He will bring peace. But also let me urge you, if that's you, then speak to one of the elders or their wives. Don't suffer in silence. If you haven't already spoken to someone, help is available. You don't have to put up with what you're going through. There can be a way out for you. God says he won't just remove these troubles, but he will shatter them so that they can never inflict pain again. I don't know what most of you are going through, but take heart at this promise. It will not always be like that. God will bring an end to it. He will shatter it. But it doesn't stop there. God also will ensure that this victory is so great that no one will ever have to fight again. Did you notice that in verse 5? It says, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Clothes and boots from war will be burnt. They aren't needed anymore. War is over. Victory is won. And yet the people didn't even have to fight. They just watched on as God fought for them. You see, that is our role. That's not to say we should never stand up to injustice. We absolutely should. But in the overall war against the evil one, against the devil, we don't have to do anything. Victory is won. So what is our role? Well, it's to rejoice. To rejoice as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder, verse 3. They are enjoying the benefits of a victory that they did nothing to win. And that's what God is promising here. A victory which he will complete. And what does victory bring? Well, it brings peace. Peace from suffering, peace from oppression, peace from worries, peace from burdens, and ultimately, peace with God. You see, one day peace will prevail, and what a day that will be for those who receive God's peace, who receive the blessings of his victory. So we rejoice because light has loomed and peace has prevailed, but how? How have these things come about? Notice the surprise of verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. Light, joy, and peace come through a child. A son. But not just any son. A son in the line of David. King David. The line that looks like it's about to be wiped out by the Assyrian army. God says a child will come from David's line and he will be king. He will sit on David's throne, verse 7. And so we come to our third point. We rejoice because a king has come. A king has come. This will be a child who will not only shatter the bar across our shoulders, as we've already seen, bringing peace, but he will also bear all other governments on his shoulders, ruling over them. There will be no power or authority that is greater than him. This child will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are not his names. He doesn't have some kind of personality disorder. These are descriptions of who he will be. They describe his role. He is to be a wonderful counselor. This literally translates as wonder counselor, a wonder meaning supernatural. The decisions of a king can make or break a kingdom, can't they? They can determine a kingdom's success or failure. But this king will have perfect wisdom, supernatural wisdom, wisdom that only God has. He will not be able to make a wrong decision. He will not give bad advice. And not only that, but he is also to be Mighty God. This is a title that is only ever given to God himself in the Bible. Mighty defines a warrior, and we've already seen, haven't we, that he will bring victory. Plus, he will be the Everlasting Father. Every king that has ever sat on a throne has only been there temporarily. Our queen has had a long reign, 65 years now. It is a long time. But this king's reign will never end. It will last forever. It will bring everlasting security. There will be no other kings after him. We see this again in verse 7. It says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. His kingdom will never end. Finally, we're told he will be the Prince of Peace. Peace is the opposite of war. Victory brings peace, and victory has been won. Peace has prevailed. What a comfort that will have been to those that were awaiting an invasion. To hear that this king will come who will bring peace, and it will be a peace that lasts forever. Peace with God for all in his kingdom. Don't you want to live in a kingdom like that? Don't you want to have a king like that? Judah was awaiting invasion by a fierce and barbaric army. It probably looked like the end to them. But the Assyrian Empire did not last forever. Where is it now? It's assigned to the pages of history. Every empire that has ever ruled has come to an end. But this king's kingdom will never end. And it will be a great kingdom. It will be ruled with justice and righteousness. Don't we long for that? This is not how other kingdoms are ruled, but this one will be, with perfect wisdom, justice, and righteousness. Every other government will be on his shoulders, but his government will be great, and it will bring peace. And all this has come through a baby. A baby born 2,000 years ago in humble conditions. A baby who was named Jesus. And that is what we have the privilege of celebrating this Christmas. That is what we are building up to through Advent. Remembering that light came to earth. And that should cause us to rejoice. Christmas may be a difficult time of year for you, and I'm not saying that this will make it easy, but it does give you a great reason to rejoice despite your trials. Those difficulties will come to an end one day, and then you will get to live in this kingdom with this King, King Jesus, if you are trusting him. So rejoice because of these truths. Maybe you love Christmas. You love everything about it. Well, enjoy it. Thank God for his many blessings over Christmas. But don't forget what it's about. Don't let all those other elements crowd out Jesus, because they will end. The decorations will come down. The food will get eaten. Arguments may be had. And in the end, they will bring disappointment. But this gives a much greater hope. A hope that won't fade. This rejoicing will not lead to disappointment, because light came down at Christmas, and one day it will return. King Jesus will establish his kingdom. So rejoice, knowing that light came to earth in the form of a baby, and one day you will get to live with him in his kingdom forever. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. You're not trusting that Jesus can bring light and save you from darkness. Maybe you don't even realize that you are in darkness and that you need saving. It's like that situation where you're in a room and it slowly gets dark outside, but it's not until someone else comes in and turns the light on that you realize that you are almost sat in darkness. Don't let that happen. This Christmas, allow the light of Jesus to shine into your darkness. Allow these verses to show you that Jesus can bring light. Verse 7 ends by saying, "The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." God will do it. It is certain. So trust him. Trust that he can save you. He never breaks his promises. He sent light into the world in the form of a baby. That much of this has already happened. And that gives us confidence that he will fulfill the rest of this too. Jesus proved through his life that he really was mighty God. He showed a glimpse of this light in the transfiguration as he shone like the sun. And one day, Jesus will return. And from that point on, he will rule forever. You do not want to miss out on his kingdom. Don't end up outside of it. Don't stay in the darkness. It is not a good place to be. Darkness brings death, but light brings life. See how great his kingdom is. See how great this King is. And trust him. Let his light shine on you, and this Christmas you can rejoice along with the rest of us, knowing that light has loomed, peace has prevailed, and it's all come through a King. We're going to sing, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is another name for Jesus. The end of each verse tells us to rejoice because he's come. So let's sing together and rejoice. Please stand when the music starts.